And we are recording.
Okay. Hi, my name is Leslie Oral Westfall Schlemmer. My family and I moved here in 1972 to New Milford. I was 7 years old, and I've lived on Whittlesey mostly all my life, Whittlesey Avenue in New Milford. One of the earliest memories I have of moving to New Milford, we had come to look at the house, and it was fair days. And imagine looking at a house or a home that's going to be your new home, and there's big parties going on the green, and you pull up and you're like, wow, what's going on? I want to go. I want to stay here. There's lots of fun things going on here. And we moved here from East Granby, Connecticut, and East Granby, where we lived, we had a lot of acreage. It was very rural, and we moved to downtown New Milford. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but the house fit. I'm the youngest of six. I have five siblings, so we fit in the house. I think that was all they were thinking. But one of the earliest memories I have of being on Whittlesey, and I like to call it my window on Whittlesey, is of a neighbor. She lived in the duplex next to us, and her name was Lucille Patchen. And to say she was eccentric is mild. I don't know how old she was, but to me, to a seven-year-old eye, she was elderly. She lived in this duplex, and she was the only one that lived in the house at the time. And her backyard, there was no driveway and going to the backyard. The house was built in the 1800s, so there wasn't a time when they needed a driveway for a vehicle. And the house had been in her family, or her husband's family, since it was built. So it was like at that time, 70, 75 years old. And so the backyard was a jungle, and it had a little pathway through it. And she had all these briars, and it was a jungle, literally. It was so overgrown that you couldn't see where one end began and one end ended. And she used to have this little pathway, and she had cats, and she would go out through the pathway. And in our yard, we could hear her back there, but we couldn't see her. We had a fence that separated it, and we couldn't see her. And you would hear Lucille over there. She would be talking to her cats. And on the rare occasion that we were allowed into her house, it was for her to help her find something. And she was, this day and age, we would call her a hoarder. She had so much in her house. She never got rid of anything. She kept everything, from empty cat food cans to a bag of oranges that she might have gotten the year before. She kept everything. It was very interesting. And I found out that she was a lady who grew up in Kentucky, and she was in the aristocracy of the Kentucky Derby area. And her husband was a well-to-do banker in New Milford, and I think maybe one of the original bankers in New Milford Savings Bank, Earl Patchen. And he apparently went to the Kentucky Derby one year and met Lucille, and they married and moved here. They never had any children, and all of her family was in Kentucky. So she was here. When we met her, her husband had passed away, and she was here. Well, in the front room of the house, she had a baby grand piano, and she would play it. She would play it at 2 o'clock in the morning. She would play it at five, you know, all hours of the day and night. She would play that piano, and it was beautiful. She played the piano beautiful, but you couldn't have a conversation with her because she was just a little bit out of it. And she used to tell us that she saw her husband all the time, and her husband would come home from work. She would say, my husband's home from work. And we just like, okay, all right. And we didn't know what that meant. You know, at the time she would tell us about her husband coming home from work. And we knew that he had passed away, and we just thought she was just saying. So over the years, I spent a lot of time with Lucille because she didn't have a vehicle, and she would walk to the IGA down the road, Maury's IGA, and do her grocery shopping. And she would always need help to carry the things back. She had a basket that she'd push around, and you'd see her all over New Milford roads riding, walking with her basket, and she'd be carrying everything. She would wear house dresses, and she would have like five house dresses on, and she would have all the pockets full of stuff, and she would walk all over the place, and I would help her if she was coming back from the grocery store with things. And she was just, I just thought of her as a nice woman. Once you were a good neighbor to Lucille, and on occasion she would come over in the, I can remember this, her coming in, my parents' bedroom was on the first floor, and her coming in, and my father's name was Emmett, and she'd come in knocking on the door, Emmett, where are you? And it'd be 6 in the morning, and she'd be looking for eggs, and she'd go, I need a couple eggs. She'd go in the refrigerator, and she'd take the eggs, and she'd be on her way. Because we, back then, we never locked the doors.
Right.
The doors of the home were always open. New Milford was safe. We didn't, it never occurred to us to lock the doors. So she would come and go as she pleased in our home. And over the years, she became ill, and Russ Ayer, who was the minister at the Congregational Church, was named her. I think he was kind of in charge of her finances and overseeing how she was. And on occasion, we would go in, and it was my family who offered to help. We would go in and help clean the house. I remember on one occasion helping my father, we would just take bags of garbage out and stuff, and we helped clean. And then eventually she needed a nurse to take care of her. And so it was a duplex, and no one had been living on the one side. So there was a nurse, and her family moved in on the one side so they could take care of Lucille, because she would, she just didn't have all her marbles. So she'd 5 o'clock or in the afternoon, she would be gearing up for the night. And we would hear during the summer, she thought it was her job to sweep the road because she didn't like dust and dirt on the road. So she would get up in the early morning, 1 or 2 in the morning, she'd be out sweeping the road. So it was interesting, but she deteriorated. She was actually over 100, I think, when she passed away, and she stayed in the house, and this nurse took care of her. And I finally did find out when she said, my husband's home from work. She was bedridden at one time, and the nurse was there, and she saw the husband came home. She saw an apparition walking up the stairs on Lucille's side, a man in a trench coat and a hat with his briefcase. And Lucille said, Earl's home.
Wow.
So very powerful. She said she saw it. It happened. So when she said her husband was home, she really was experiencing that he was home. And then near the end of her life, when she died, she told the nurse, it happened to be a friend, and she would see Earl and her mother, they would talk to her and say, mm-hmm. It's time. So it's she was very eccentric, but she was very interesting. And that was kind of my introduction to New Milford, but I think the most interesting thing and the most powerful thing about our community are its people. I always felt like I was a part of a bigger than my family. My community was looking out for me,
right?
Always. I wanted to stay here. I wanted to raise my children here because I felt that they would be welcome. They would have this feeling that I did. I think at that time, and it's changed a little, you could walk down the street and everybody knew you. Mm-hmm. If you were doing something wrong, everyone knew that.
Right.
And, and I also felt that, when you did great things, you were supported on a higher level. So it was a good place to grow up. I know my siblings and I speak of it, and I have a brother that lives out in the West Coast, and he often tells his friends about his childhood. And he's 10 years older than I. So when he moved to New Milford, he was in the high school. So he was, wasn't in the community that long, but he always tells people about how it was for him growing up and how his family was, his community was always really important. And the stories he tells his friends, many of them didn't have that same experience. They came from larger areas, in the Midwest and out West, and for whatever reason, didn't have that small town feel. And I don't know, it's just interesting.
What do you attribute that sort of feeling to? I mean, because I don't think it's just about size. I think it's...
I don't know. I love it. Now, we have a new person, a new neighbor who moved in down the road. And she moved into... I know my house. I know my road, my street, because I've been there for so long. By the homes. So she moved into the Bongiorno home, because years ago the Bongiornos lived there, 24 Whittlesey. And now they've only been there like a month, right? And they're from Maryland. And I said, well, what brought you to New Milford? I'm curious. Tell me your story.
Sound like me.
So she said her husband got a job out of college in Norwalk. And so they moved from, I assume, from the Maryland area to Norwalk. And they lived in Norwalk for a year, about a year. And they really didn't like it. She said, we lived there a year. We didn't know any of our neighbors. They lived here a week. They knew all their neighbors. We welcomed them. We had a dinner for them. It was just nice. She said, there just seems to be a difference. I said, but how did you find New Milford? Did you just look on a map and say here? She goes, no. She goes, believe it or not, I went to college with a woman. Her name was Alyssa Dombrowski. I'm like, I know her. She went to school with my son. She goes, yeah, I went to college with her. And she always talked about her hometown, New Milford. And she talked about all the great things and how wonderful it was to grow up in New Milford. And she said, we were in Connecticut. I wanted to see and I wanted to find that. And she said, we came and looked at homes in New Milford and fell in love with it. And they live in a 5-bedroom home. So I'm sure she's going to eventually fill that 5-bedroom home. So,
I know you were young when you moved here. You were 7, so like, East Granby, right?
Yeah.
East Granby really doesn't have that much of a center, right? It's sort of spread out.
It's spread out. It's rural. It was rural. It's not rural now, but there were not that many. There weren't a lot in the community, and it was very family oriented. So like, I don't know. It was similar to here.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was definitely similar to here. But when I say it was a little more rural than here, it's because I lived in town.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I lived in town here.
So one thing that people frequently sort of bring up when I talk to them is the green. And how the green is sort of the glue that unites
all the different areas.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Northville, Mariel, Lanesville, Gaylordsville. And I mean, I think to an extent, like, Northville, Mariel, and especially Gaylordsville are fairly independent of their identity.
Right.
But yet we all sort of identify because of the green.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on sort of the individuality of each area? And
The green is my area.
Yeah. No, absolutely. See, this is what I'm fascinated with, because I haven't had anyone who's like from downtown.
So here's an example growing up. And I have one other friend that grew up, and she lived in an apartment down on Railroad Street growing up. And, you know, we used to run the town. I mean, you could be 7, and at the time there was a Western Auto where Tivoli's is, was a Western Auto that the Bonjournos owned. And I was friends with them, and we would go, and they would, we could hang around. I mean, I was 7 years old, and we would take scooters and we would ride around all over town. It was my playground.
Right.
It was where we were, you know, and there wasn't a lot of children on my street, but you knew everybody in town. We would all gather, and maybe we wanted to play, wanted to play baseball or softball that day. And we would all gather at behind the Congregational Church. There was a big yard, and we would play ball, or we might want to ride bikes. We would all get together and ride bikes. So it was like you say, Northville and Gaylordsville, it was a community. It was a location. It was downtown.
Yeah.
It wasn't, I'd always identified with good. I mean, people used to say, oh, you live downtown?
Raggies.
Yeah. And we'd be like, what? I don't understand. I didn't understand it. Being young, I didn't understand what that meant.
Right.
In the 70s, the teenagers would hang out on the green, and it was a meeting place. Just like, I don't know, in the 80s, it was like Big Y parking lot. Yeah. You know, it was the green, and they would play Frisbee, just hang out. But it was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. There wasn't anything bad going on. Mm-hmm. It was just a hangout place. So I don't know. Downtown is my area.
Do you think New Milford fulfilled on its promise that you talked about, like, how you'd wanted to raise your kids in this town that had all these things that you saw growing up, like this wonderful sense of community? Did it deliver on that promise?
To some extent, I don't think they had the same experiences I had. I think as society has changed, limits on how much people can care about others and care about children. I think the teachers, I know that growing up, teachers were a big part of my life because they cared about us as people and they respected us. I think because of laws that don't allow teachers to get close to students, that part was different for me, and just the sheer numbers of students as opposed to, okay, you know, the, you know, it was a smaller amount in the classes. So, but as a community, I look at it, my son's in the service, so he's been overseas, and as a community, we've come together through my friends at the library, we've come together and made donations. My friend, I have a large church family that's come together. So in essence, I know that he feels that his community supports him. So I'm going to say, yeah, I don't think it's a different, it's not the same as my experience. It's different, but I think they identify with the community. Michael will say it now that there's nowhere like New Milford. He says that to me all the time. I've been all over the world and there's nowhere like New Milford. And he won't qualify that, but that's what he says. And I don't know if that's just because it's his hometown.
Right.
And we all feel that. Or, yeah, I don't know.
Right. So you're very active in the Congregational Church.
I am.
Do you think that sort of being sort of steeped in that organization that has so much history in the town has helped you feel connected?
Yes. I like history. I like the history of the church and what, you know, how it's evolved and what we do as a church. Mm-hmm. It's a faith community that I know that I have friends that are there for me in time of need.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, I do. And I think it's unique in a lot of ways because it was the founding church of our community.
Right.
And I don't know, it's just interesting.
How has, I mean, we're talking about faith, and I guess right now there are a lot of people sort of there are a lot of dividing lines with faith, but how has New Milford changed in that way? I mean, getting more diverse. I mean, have you, how has that experience been for you? I mean, has it been an experience for you?
I don't know. It was either growing up, I think for us, it was, you were either in the Catholic Church or you were in the Congregational Church. And that was pretty much it. I mean, there were a few people that were maybe at the Methodist Church, but that was it. That was it. You had the two faiths. Now there's such a plethora of different faiths that, you know, I don't think it's affected me in any way. And I don't begrudge anybody, you know, whatever suits them.
Yeah.
You know, it's really just an organization.
Absolutely.
It's just like anything else.
I talk a lot about this idea of community building activities. So one of my favorite memories that I have is going to the 300th anniversary of the town and going with my grandfather and my mom.
Yeah.
And there were several generations of us together in one location that we so identified with. And is there one specific sort of community building activity that has meant so much to you?
Probably the library. When I moved here, I didn't have any friends. And the first place I came was a library. And at the time it was the old library, and the children's library was in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
So we would walk around and go down in the basement, and I was seven, but I was going by myself, and I would go down the library and I would take books out. I would go home and read them. I would come back and take more books out. And Judy Horgan was the librarian, and she said, "You can't do that every day." So then I would just come and sit in the library and read. So the library is, and I've worked here too, so it's like home. It's like a second home.
Right.
It's a home. So the library for me is what I identify with the town.
How did the town respond to the addition at the time in the 70s when they wanted to build this?
I think there was excitement about it. There was an excitement about it because it was needed.
Right.
I think there was a little bit of an uproar because the house that was the old hospital came down. That was on Whittlesey. They took that down.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
They took that house down and
did it need to be was it in bed?
It was a historical site, really, and they eminent domain. They kind of took it over. So I don't know.
Is that where the driveway is?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, I was young, so I don't really know if it was needed to come down. But there was excitement about it. I can remember I could see out my back windows when they had bulldozers. It felt like they worked on it for 2 years. You know, they were over here with a bulldozers bulldozing and everything. So when it did finally open, it was pretty exciting.
I bet.
Ooh. Very. But.
The, so we're talking about sort of taking down an old place and putting up new things. How has physically, and this, how has the green changed for you in the time that you've lived here? Like
physically. Well, I can tell you this, that right now, like, it's Christmas time. So we have Christmas trees. We have the light poles with the lights on. I think there's a lot of light pollution. Mm-hmm. I think there's too much. Like, I could do away with the trees, although they've been on the green for 50 years or whatever. But now that they have the lamp posts with the lights, I think it's too much light. I think there's a lot of light pollution. That's my biggest thing. It's more active than it ever was, which is a good thing because some of the businesses are doing well that are downtown. There have been periods when downtown has been desolate because the businesses went out.
So you've seen an ebb and flow of that?
I have definitely seen an ebb and flow of that.
So like things right now are not as bad as, I mean, they're like, I think people point at this point in time as like the worst point ever.
Oh, no, I don't think so at all. I mean, there were a time when businesses went out and there was nothing in the buildings down on Bank Street. And Bank Street was like, there were no restaurants. There was nothing. So
really?
Yeah, it was just different. You had the Five and Dime. There wasn't very much. It just was much quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I think things are good now. I think it's nice to see that productivity, but also keep the old. I was walking the other morning. It was early and it wasn't quite light out. And the house that's next to, it's like, here's the town hall. There's a house in the next house. I don't know what's in there. The 88. I don't know who's in there.
Oh, that's. Is that where Lou is?
No, not where Lou is. It's before Lou's. Well, okay. They left a light on, and I never noticed this. This is the first thing I noticed. There's a door, and they left a light on in the hallway. Well, above the door, there's a beautiful stained glass window. Beautiful. It's like long, and you wouldn't see it or notice it. The light was shining through it from the other side, and it was dark. It was beautiful. I was like, wow. So if you go down there and it's on at night, you look at that glass, that stained glass window. It's beautiful. So it's kind of nice because we have a mix of the old and we have the new.
Right.
I just wish something would go in that old CVS building.
I know. It's a shame. It really is.
Yeah. So that would be nice. And then it would even be more active. I know that, you know, used to be everything was closed on Sundays because of the blue laws.
Right.
So it was, you could hear a pin drop downtown on Sundays. So it was really quiet. Now we're pretty active all the time. The big difference on Whittlesey with all that is my house is right like on the apex. So you come, it's equal distance from either end.
Mm-hmm.
And we would never hear any traffic or anything. You would have thought you were out in the country. Now with the activity on the green and the traffic that's on E Street, we hear traffic all the time.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. And there's much more foot traffic on the sidewalks.
Yeah.
So it's different. I mean, it's okay though. It's okay.
I feel like there's sort of a, and I think part of this is sort of my idealism, but I feel like there's some new energy being sort of breathed into the town. Obviously there's always an investment, like a sort of emotional investment by people in the town, even the people who are frustrated. I think the people who are frustrated, they're frustrated because they're invested in the town.
Right.
But I think there's hope again. I think people were really sort of down on New Milford for a long time.
Oh, I'm sad to hear that. I never felt that way. But
I'm glad to hear that.
I never felt that way. I'm always feel good about Milford. And we have a good town. We have good people. We have good people.
We do. We absolutely do.
Good people.
So the one question I ask everyone, and this is the hard question, so you can take a little bit of time to think about it, is I'll start off with sort of the general. What is your ideal New Milford? So 50 years down the road, whatever, if you had sort of a magic wand to make New Milford your ideal New Milford, what would it be in the future?
I think there needs to keep, it's important for our community to stay as it is, to keep both the rural, both to keep the farms, keep the land. I don't think every square inch has to be developed. I think we need open space as well as developed.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, I would like to see some of the older homes kept, historic preservation.
Even if they're just shells like the Barton House.
I'm okay with that. No, yeah, I know. No. If they're usable. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that because they've made good use of it. But I think that there's got to be a good mix of old and new. Mm-hmm. But I would love to see more of a tax base for our taxes. I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know that we want more industry, but at what point we need some kind of a tax base to help out tax owners. I don't like to see all these McMansions and you have to make $150,000 and up to live in New Milford. We have an economic diversity right now, huge economic diversity.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what makes New Milford work, that diversity.
Right.
A cultural and economic. So, I think it needs to, I think that's good.
Do you remember the economic diversity growing up? Was it always like that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. We were the have-nots.
And where did the haves live? I mean, was there a section of town that was more heavy?
Oh, yeah. You had the developments that were big at the time. I don't know. And when you got to the high school, all the Sherman kids, they were considered the haves. I don't know if they were. They were just considered that.
Right.
The area up in Wellsville area. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just did. Saddle Ridge, that was big up off of 109.
Well, I really appreciate you doing this. This is great. Do you have anything else you want to share? I mean, I sort of interjected a lot, so,
yeah.
And I'm here, so you can always come and talk.
Okay. That's all right. I will come back with my sister because she's a little bit of an introvert, so she probably won't talk unless I'm here.
Okay. So I'm going to stop recording.
She wants to come back, so it's good.